talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today, the Exchange Club.
And we're off and running on this Getaway Friday, Friday, January the 15th, 2021, 18 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Exchange Club. And I think we're going to have a guest in the remaining bottom half of this hour, the bottom 30 minutes. But for the next 12 minutes, we're going to try to finish up this family feud we had from yesterday. So here was the category. Name an occasion that people frequently forget. Now, here's the ones we have. Anniversary was number one. Birthday was number two. A dentist appointment was number three. But we still have two answers left. On what occasion do people forget? Or name an occasion that people forget. That's the question. Name an occasion that people frequently forget. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Anniversary is one, birthday is two, dentist appointment is three, and we still have two answers left. Does anybody know what those two answers are? 740-383-9944. Name an occasion that people frequently forget. 740-383-9944. Remember, 61 people said anniversary, 31 people said birthday, and 2 people said a dentist appointment. But there are 2 other answers. What are those other 2 answers? 740-383-9944. Going to try to get them in the next 10 minutes. Go ahead, caller.
How about a school function?
What's that?
School. School function.
No school functions on the list. School functions do not make the list. Name an occasion that people frequently forget. An occasion that people frequently forget. Anniversary 1, birthday 2, dentist appointment number 4. What are the remaining 2? Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 61 people said anniversary. 31 people said birthday. 2 people said dentist appointment, but there are 2 answers remaining. Name an occasion that people frequently forget. Go ahead, caller.
Renew your driver's license.
Driver's license. That's a good one, but not on the list today. No driver's license renewal on the list today. We've got 2 answers left and 9 minutes. We still don't have these 2 answers. Name an occasion that people frequently forget. Does anybody know what these 2 things that are eluding us are? Name an occasion that people frequently forget. Now remember, the previous answers are anniversary, birthday, and dentist appointment. There are 2 left. 2 events that people frequently forget. 2 occasions. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody know what those 2 occasions are that we do not have the answers for that people frequently forget? Any more guesses? 8 minutes left to go in this particular category. What occasions do you forget about? We know that anniversary's there. We know that birthday's there. We know that the dentist appointment is there. What are the other 2 occasions that people frequently forget? 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
How about a dinner party?
Dinner party. No dinner party on the list. Dinner party does not make the list. An occasion that people frequently forget. Does anybody know what this is? An occasion that people frequently forget. Two answers left on the board here. 740-383-9944. 7 minutes left with this category. We started this category yesterday, and it sticks with us right now. Does anybody know an occasion that people frequently forget? Anniversary, birthday, dentist appointment are the three that we have. There are two remaining. Name an occasion that people frequently forget. 740-383-9944. This is a tough one for people. What occasions do you forget about? That's what we're looking for here. Trying to think of any kind of hint that I could even give when it comes to this. Well, I'll tell you what. These are both particular days of the year. Let's put it that way. These are not like appointments or school events. These are particular days of the year. That's what we're looking for. Name an occasion that people frequently forget. 740-383-9944. 24 and a half minutes past the hour. We've only got about 5 minutes left before we're going to throw this category away for the day and go to our guest for the remainder of the hour. Does anybody know what those two answers might be? They're particular days. Go ahead, caller.
Daylight savings time.
Not daylight savings time, but a good guess. Not daylight savings time. Name an occasion that people frequently forget. Now remember, these are particular days. Go ahead, caller.
About July 4th.
Not July 4th. July 4th. People tend to remember when July 4th is, I guess. Name an occasion that people frequently forget. Go ahead, caller.
Income tax filing.
That's a good guess. Not income tax day. Not tax day. Name an occasion that people frequently forget. An occasion that people frequently forget. Now remember, these are particular days of the year. They're particular days of the year. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
How about Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day is number 3 on the list. You got it. Thank you. Valentine's Day clocks in at number 3 on the list. Apparently, a lot of people forgetting Valentine's Day. So number 1 is anniversary, number 2 is birthday, number 3 is Valentine's Day, number 4 is a dentist appointment. What is our remaining answer here? Name an occasion that people frequently forget. It's a day. It's a particular day of the year. Does anybody know what that might be? 740-383-9944. An occasion that people frequently forget. One answer left today. Go ahead, caller.
How about somebody's birthday?
Birthday we already got. That's number 2 on the list. We already have people's birthday. Now remember, the answers we already have, we already have anniversary, we already have birthday, we already have Valentine's Day, and we already have a dentist appointment. But there's one more answer on the list. Name an occasion on which people frequently forget. Now remember, it's a day of the year. It's a particular day. 740-383-9944. Does anybody know what this particular day is? Name an occasion that people frequently forget. And remember, it's a particular day. Does anybody know what that is? Go ahead, caller.
How about Mother's Day?
Not Mother's Day, but a good guess.
Okay.
Mother's Day does not make the list, but a very good guess indeed. Name an occasion on which people frequently forget. 28 minutes past the hour here. We got 2 minutes left to go. Are we going to get the answer? Go ahead, caller.
How about Flag Day?
Not Flag Day, but that's a good guess.
Flag Day does not make this particular list. Name an occasion on which people frequently forget. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
How about Father's Day?
Father's Day. That's it. Father's Day is number 5. You got it. Thank you.
Yep.
Father's Day was the answer. Name an occasion on which people frequently forget. Number 1 was anniversary. Number 2 was birthday. Number 3 was Valentine's Day. Number 4 was a dentist appointment. And number 5 was Father's Day. And that rounds out that category. Now, we're going to take a quick break and I believe come back with our special guest right after this break.
We're having fun every day from 1 to 3 p.m. on Now with Scott Spears right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Just ask legendary comedian Phyllis Diller.
Why hasn't the world found Scott and put him on a pedestal? And, you know, after all, Larry King can't live forever.
Or legendary actress Jane Meadows.
That's one of the reasons I tell you you're the best of all the interviewers. And that's why I love you and your show, dear.
Actress and singer Marla Gibbs.
As long as you breathe, you'd better believe it's never too late for life. So drop all your fear, 'cause as long as you're here, it's never too late for life.
Our professional wrestler and movie star Ox Baker.
I want to tell you, listeners of the WWGH, this is Ox, man, a higher listener at WWGH. You better start listening.
Or the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Hello there. How are you, Scott Spears? Ted Williams here in Columbus, Ohio. And Scott, I just want to let you know I love you as an individual. I always refer to Marion as being the home of WCMH's Bob Nunaway, and now I refer to it as the home of Scott Spears.
That's Now with Scott Spears, 1 to 3 p.m., Monday through Friday, right here on WWGH 107.1 FM, the place to be.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday, January the 15th, 2021, 31 minutes past the hour, and we're going to spend the remainder of today's program with one of my favorite people. There's a lot going on in the world right now, heavens knows. Politically, we've got an inauguration coming up this coming Sunday. Who knows what's going to happen? The capitals around the country might be... we're going to call it protested at this particular point, but the National Guard here in Ohio has been called in case there's any trouble on Sunday. We did have a breach at the Capitol a little more than a week ago, and we had an impeachment of a president for the second time, which is the only time in history that's ever happened, 2 days ago. And in the midst of all that here in Ohio, we have had the Cleveland Browns go to the second round of the football playoffs for the first time in eons. Ohio State lost on Monday night to Alabama, and one of our dear friends on this program passed away 1 week ago today at the age of 93, Tommy Lasorda. So to discuss all that, we've got plenty to talk about with one of the best friends this program has ever had. He is a journalist, he is an author, he is a columnist, and he was the best reason to watch HBO's Boxing After Dark for more than 2 decades, the legendary Larry Merchant. Larry, how are you?
Well, I'm alive and well and still standing. I'm just another citizen watching the chaos. and the response to the chaos. I'm not a historian, but in our communications age, there's never been anything quite like this. And I'll remind you that I said something like, how do people in Ohio or anybody else think that Donald Trump, a circus barker, basically, is going to clean up what ails them? And here we are.
Well, Larry, you know, we've never done this, but I go back to the day after the election, 2016, when Donald Trump was elected, when we all thought that that probably was not going to happen. And at the end of the show, I still credit you with the line, and I've used it a lot. You said, as somebody who has met Donald Trump at that particular point through the boxing world, I said, what's the summation of this election? And you said, a New York con man conned America. You just asked a similar version of that question. Now let's try to get at the answer. What's the answer?
Well, there were, I don't know, particles in the air, not just in our country, but around the globe. And for whatever reason, presumably his opponent, Hillary Clinton, was one of them, although she got almost 3 million more votes than he did. But Trump turned out to be a showman who a lot of people felt would challenge authority, would bring some new perspective, new hope, to get all those bums out of there. Turned out he was the bum.
You know, Larry, we're just days away from the end of his presidency. What is the story going to be on the four-year presidency of Donald J. Trump?
Well, I think there are probably 150 million Americans who could write this story. But I think history will treat him as some phenomenon that people fell for, whether it was because of the new media, the social media, which has brought together various elements of white supremacy and given them some political power. I think ultimately it will be seen as a stand, maybe a last stand, of white Christian America trying to win, sustain, and then cheat their way into power. We'll see what the repercussions are of this new age of new media, where good people and bad people alike can somehow find each other, coagulate into thoughtful and stupid groups, and become a force. When you read about or watch on television how this gang formulated on media, provoked by Trump, even perhaps helped by some people in Congress to invade our democracy. That is the, I think the real question is, how is modern communications change the political scheme and scene in the future?
Interestingly enough, Larry, to that question, President Trump now has been permanently banned from Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and a host of other platforms at this particular point. It came after the Capitol breach. And was that soon enough? Do these people now have a conscience? Are they going to act preemptively from now on? Or was this just an unprecedented event that allowed this to happen?
Well, we've had some unprecedented events in our history, but none of them were seen on television. During the Reconstruction era after the Civil War, and so on. But this resonates because of the modern media in a harrowing way. Can you imagine that the stories that several Republican congresspeople or their aides actually took some of these people through the Capitol so they would know where to go when they got in there? I mean, it's breathtaking almost every day, the stories that are coming to light. So I don't know where this is going, but I do know this. The system has worked in a way, right? The Democrats kept the House, won the Senate, won the presidency, had our judicial system support them. And that virtually unanimously in every case brought up to them in what was a long attempted coup on many levels. The military has supported the opposition to a sitting president. So in that sense, you know, I'm a bit of a Pollyanna, although Trump is challenging me on that. But I think there is a hopeful sign that the system ultimately worked. Trump was the opposition kicked Trump out of there. And if the Democrats go wrong, then they'll get kicked out of there.
You know,
peacefully or not.
Well, Larry, we have to look at this objectively in some way and say that history is going to record a lot of things about the presidency of Donald Trump, and of course, the pandemic will be there, the incidents that happened in the last couple weeks will be there, the impeachment will be there, but it will also be about a man, however people take this, who was the first to enter the presidency with no political office being held, no military experience. He was the oldest president elected at that time, and the people who follow him, which people say 30-35% fervently, he was able, in local communities where he was popular, to have these people show up to rallies, to have these people fly flags, to have these people stand on street corners. That has not happened for a presidential politician. That's something that only happened for local politicians, if a local politician. What did he... you have to say inspire. What did he inspire that got people off the couch who hadn't been off the couch ever for politics to do that?
Well, he was not a politician. And apparently there was a strong feeling in the bones of the country that that was a good thing. That politicians couldn't be trusted, and so on. And that he was a performer. I wonder if, is Tom Hanks or somebody like Tom Hanks going to become a president someday? Because the politicians have screwed up, and the country wants to try something else. I don't know. The democracy is has been widely reported is an ongoing experiment, and this is certainly the low point in that experiment.
Larry, my guess would be, and maybe it won't be, but here's my guess, and you tell me where you stand on this. You were in the television business, the broadcasting business, for a long, long time. And ultimately, what I've always said when they talk about broadcasters or newspapers having a political bend, it happens from time to time, but mostly they're interested in sales and eyes on the product. Donald Trump, like him or hate him, brought eyes to newspapers, brought eyes... The Washington Post would certainly say this. People who love to hate Trump bought the Washington Post every day. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, ratings crazy high when something went on. If Biden is what we have thought a president to be, which is not an entertainer, when the ratings start to slide, do they care? Or do they... Is that going to figure in?
Well, I think it will be seen as settling back into what politics is supposed to be about. Ideas, the both sides coming to some kind of common ground, moving forward. Occasionally we have a brilliant politician who speaks to our concerns. But I suspect that this is the right moment, the right time for someone like a supreme politician like Biden to come along and quiet us down. We have a pandemic, perhaps politically as well as in terms of the COVID-19. We have an economy that is still shaken. So I think getting those things on track, if the Democrats can do it, will restore some faith in a bureaucratic government. And see the difference between someone who can inspire a lot of people in the wrong way. And, you know, I think the good in the system will rise to the top.
Before we get to the inauguration, I want to switch gears for just a second, because one thing that has happened since November with this election going on and the pandemic continuing to get out of control is things that would normally get a lot more attention aren't getting that kind of attention. And I think one of those things happened 7 days ago when legendary baseball manager and just sports figure in general, he did the Slim Fast commercials, he was on talk shows, an entertaining guy, Tommy Lasorda, passed away at the age of 93. Now, Larry's out in California, and before we get to his thoughts on Tommy Lasorda's passing and what his legacy to baseball and sports in general is, we were lucky enough to have Tommy on this program back in August of 2015, I believe he was on, and I'm just going to play about a minute and a half clip of Tommy Lasorda on this program from August of 2015. Go get 'em, Tommy.
Tommy, before I let you go, I got two questions, and they're easy ones.
Sure.
Number one, are we ever going to see you, I know not on a permanent basis, but are we ever going to see you out there coaching in an all-star game or an Olympic team again?
You never know.
Hopefully you won't fall down this time.
Yeah.
Huh?
Hopefully you won't fall down this time.
Yeah. Well, it's still a little tough, you know.
That's right.
I'm 88 years old right now. I'll be 88 in September. And things are, you know, you got to start slowing down a little bit.
The last question, Tommy, is you have more than 12 years left, I think. So I think we're going to break 100 then some. But when you are gone, how would you like people to look back on you?
Well, you know, that question's been asked of me many times. And usually a lot of people ask those questions. Well, I'd like to go out as a guy who loved his family, a guy who loved his country, a guy who loved his organization that he was with for, well, hoping with being 170 years or so. And that's what I think I'd like to know. And I love the game of baseball. Everywhere I went, I was proud and contented to represent Major League Baseball.
Tommy Lasorda.
I thought it was the greatest sport in this country.
Well, Tommy Lasorda, I have to believe, is probably one of the greatest.
And I wanted to, but I forgot to tell you, I already got my tombstone.
Oh, go ahead, tell me about it.
It's in my office.
It's in your office?
Dodger Stadium was his address, but every ballpark was his home.
Hey,
oh, nice.
I love that.
Tommy Lasorda on this program, August of 2015. Larry, what was your relationship or remembrances of the late Tommy Lasorda?
Well, I knew Tommy on and off for 50-plus years, 60 years. I remember when he, as a kid, when he came up to the Dodgers. He was a mediocre ball player, but a great personality who, through the force of his personality, was able to add to the richness of baseball. When I was a boy, I always wanted to know where all those remote towns were, where ballplayers came from. I wanted to know about their personalities. And Lasorda was a kind of Stengel who you wanted to be around just to be around him, because he'd enrich you and make you smile in a good way. And he wasn't one of a kind. There have been a lot of baseball figures filled with, you know, the helium of of good feelings and not being afraid to express his passions. But he was a part of the game, and that all of us celebrate.
You know, Larry, something interesting about Tommy Lasorda, you know, he did those Slim Fast commercials. He would appear on talk shows and do strange gags if they would ask him to do them. He didn't seem to take himself too seriously. What kind of guy was he when he wasn't on the field and wasn't in front of a camera?
He was the same guy. He was what he was, and he wasn't afraid to express it, to broadcast it, and to shout to the highest levels of the ballpark. He was just the kind of character that baseball bred because of his very nature. And he was, in his own way, a terrific self-promoter. And he rose to Hall of Fame heights as a manager. It's a baseball story.
Where is baseball today? I mean, obviously, during the pandemic, it's taken kind of a side turn, like all other sports. But, you know, the Cubs won the World Series a few years ago. That was watched. The following year, it was a great World Series. Where is baseball, in your opinion?
Well, it seems to do a lot of business. By that I mean because there are so many baseball games in a season, so many more than any other professional sport. There's money to be made for their rights, and they keep getting into big contracts for television. So people are watching, but I think that at the same time, it no longer occupies the space in the American imagination that it once did. Once upon a time, when I was a boy, it was all about baseball and boxing. Boxing has declined, I think. For a lot of people, basketball and football are more essential to their lives. But Dodger Stadium fills up virtually every night that there's a game, and other franchises do well and some struggle. I'm curious to see where the game goes, but I'm not likely to be around when it gets there.
You know, one thing that has always fascinated me about baseball, and being in a state where we have two baseball teams, one in the north and one in the south, formerly the Indians. What do you make of that before we go anywhere? What do you make of the Indians?
The former Indians, yeah. I guess, like Washington, they'll be called the Cleveland baseball team. That's how the Washington Redskins were called, the Washington football team or something like that. It's a part of our times, trying to be more inclusive and in celebrating and giving opportunity to minorities. I'm curious to see what they come up with. Are they having a contest?
You know, they really haven't said. They slipped the announcement in, and some people offered some opinions, but other than that, they've been very quiet on the issue.
You know, you wouldn't think, you'd think something like this was easy, but it's not. Mainly because a lot of these teams make a lot of money on the stuff they sell, jerseys, bats, or whatever, teacups, I suppose, with that brand on it. And serious or over-serious fans collect those things to express their emotions. Professional sports are one of the things that hold modern metropolitan areas together as a, you know, I'm a Cleveland fan. I'm from Cleveland. So it isn't easy, and otherwise they'd have done it already.
The initial question was, having two teams, what I have always wondered and noticed, the Indians, by and large, have had better records than the Cincinnati Reds. But yet, the Reds always have better attendance. And in Chicago, with the Cubs and the White Sox, you have a similar thing. Used to have a similar thing. Cubs aren't so bad anymore. What is it about certain teams, not based on their records, that cause people to flood the stadium?
I don't know. I suppose they have some kind of history that inspires so much loyalty. My dad and my uncles took me to Yankee Stadium many times in New York. They were Yankee fans and glorified in the success of the Yankees and some of their superstar players. Cleveland has a rich history in that regard, however. You know, Bob Feller, many others. But now we just saw them trade their best player, Linder. I mean, he's a world-class shortstop who can hit and who can slug. Where do you find that? So the economics of the game has changed, and in which it's now okay in all sports to have losing seasons in the hopes of rebuilding to winning seasons. But look, Cincinnati had a great team with so many great ball players, and they were there for quite a long time, so it doesn't shock me that they outdraw the Indians.
Larry, final question.
Well, I'm sorry, the Clevelands.
That's right, whatever they're called at this point. A final question is, we head into Inauguration Day. It certainly will be like any other Inauguration Day. It would have been because of the pandemic anyway. But here's the things we know at this point. We know something around this country is planned on Sunday at state capitals. We hope it's peaceful. We know the Capitol Mall, as of this morning, will be shut down through the 21st. We know that President and Mrs. Clinton, President and Mrs. Obama, President and Mrs. W. Bush will all be in attendance. The Carters will not because of the pandemic. What's Inauguration Day going to be like this year? Unlike any other, that's for sure.
You know, well, some of it will be virtual. They appear to have some smart guys behind the scenes who know that these things are great and perhaps historical events in the sense that it's a peaceful transfer of power. Donald Trump has announced he's not going to be there, which is what we used to call addition by subtraction. But with all of the military trying to maintain the peace and so on, it's going to be something that is like something we never saw before. But I'm a little concerned about what happens in these various states if some of the red hots decide they want to blow up a train station or a business street. We don't know. And maybe all of these coup attempts will shake the best parts of us out in the open, and maybe the invasion of the Capitol will be one major event, and our show of force shows that we can turn down the temperature, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in the courts with some of these people who were involved in the invasion. And of course we'll have Trump around to represent himself and a freaky time in American history.
And we will certainly know the answers to a lot of these questions very shortly. Whether it's being an analyst, a broadcaster, a columnist, sports, politics, whatever the topic, one of my favorite people, Larry Merchant. Larry, big birthday coming up, and we're all excited.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Larry. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The legendary Larry Merchant. That's it for today. Back tonight. 8 to 10 on this station with Angie Evers. Don't miss that. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
In a biblical perspective. So would love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going, and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Wester at Community Christian Fellowship.